Hi, friends, and welcome to the Plus Mommy Podcast. I'm your host, Jen McClellan, and here we explore plus-size pregnancy, motherhood, and body love. From bumps to bellies, we talk about it all. Now, let's get started. Hi, friends. Today, we are joined by Bonnie Ann Ratcliffe, and she is the founder of The Shape of a Mother. The Shape of a Mother was one of the very few resources that I found when I was plus size and pregnant back in 2010 that really helped me to feel included and accepted and like bodies don't look like just what the media showed us. And as an autistic activist and someone who is deeply committed to intersectional feminism, I knew that Bonnie would be the perfect guest. And I've just been so excited to have you on with us. So welcome.
Yay. Thank you. Hello.
Hi. I want to ask like all about how you started your journey to the Shape of a Mother, but I'm guessing it began with becoming a parent yourself. So let us know kind of a bit about that journey and bodies. And I think, you know, obviously my audience has all different age demographics, but I feel like people who are younger and currently getting pregnant just don't quite understand what it was like back when, you know, you were getting pregnant and I was getting pregnant and the world looked a little different. We didn't see photos like all the incredible stories and photos you have on your website.
Yes, that is true. It was a different internet back then. I started The Shape of a Mother in 2006, actually. My first kid was born in 2002, and then my second in 2005. And I had always expected to get stretch marks, you know, because I had gotten them in puberty. But like, I hadn't realized, firstly, that I would get stretch marks from like my shoulders to my ankles during pregnancy. Yeah. That threw me. And then, you know, like the extra skin on my belly didn't go away. And I was just sort of like thrown for a loop. And like, on the one hand, my body had created these amazing humans and birthed them. And so it had done like this really incredible thing. And I wanted to like, love it, you know, and honor it for that. But I was also still tied up in all of this body image stuff. And it was hard to reconcile the two. And then I remember one time we were actually on a family trip to Disneyland and we were like having breakfast in like a restaurant across the street or something. And my son was like just over or almost a year old. And my older kid was four. And so somebody walks by, like a woman walks by with like a, you know, a baby, like a car seat, a bucket carrier. And because she had to like fit between our table and the next table, she sort of had to lift it up. And when she did that, her shirt lifted a bit. And I saw that her belly, even though she was like thin and like appeared what I had always perceived as conventionally attractive and like with a conventionally beautiful like body shape and style, but she still had that loose skin. And I was kind of blown away by that. And so then I sat with it and I took this to some friends. I said something about this. And then we all started having a conversation about our bodies. And one of them went so far as to take photographs of the stretch marks she had on her bottom, on her butt. And then she emailed them to me and I saw them and I was like instantly lighter, like a huge like weight just lifted off of me. And I thought, if seeing this is that shifting in my perspective for me, maybe other people need to do this as well. And so I started the blog at that time. I think it was like on Blogspot or something, 100 years ago. And because like you were saying, there weren't websites dedicated to body positivity.
No,
there weren't a lot of images of unretouched postpartum bodies. There was a lot, especially in like the early 2000s, there was a lot of magazines focusing on celebrities getting their body back. Yes. And it was like a huge like obsession in the culture at that time. And so I wanted to sort of combat that just by showing whatever anybody would send to me. And I didn't know if it was going to work. So like I sent the link out to my friends and I was like, please share it. And if you're comfortable, contribute. Like, I never want to push anybody beyond what they're comfortable doing. But it somehow like went viral and became like a thing, like within a week. And that alone showed me how thirsty everybody was for reassurance that they are normal and okay, just as they are.
Yes. Yes. Wow. I remember when I stumbled upon it during pregnancy and I was just like, oh my goodness. Like, it was just like a hidden part of the internet where I was like, oh, these are bodies that look like mine and have stretch marks. And this is what normal is. Why aren't we seeing this everywhere? And this was long before Instagram was even a thing. Facebook was around, but it was a different type. Yeah, it was a different type of Facebook at the time. It was it's still a lot of parenting memes, but it was just so different than the raw vulnerability and honesty in many ways that we see today.
Yeah.
So it was a special time back then, but for you to launch that and tell us about the name, The Shape of a Mother, because it's so perfect.
It is perfect. But then as I've learned more about like trans issues, I feel a little bit bummed that I'm tied to like the mother here, because I know many, you know, like trans men get pregnant and non-binary people as well. But yeah, the name, this is actually something that held me up for a few months, was I wasn't sure what to do about a name. And it came from my friend.
Oh, wow.
My friend Christine had suggested it. And I was like, yes, because it was perfect.
Yeah, because at the time it was perfect because you were combating this message of what does a mother look like? Mm-hmm. And back then it was thin, Caucasian, and privileged, right? And that is so beyond what the shape of any parent looks like, but especially the messages that we were receiving there at the time. And I love what you do on your website to be inclusive, and especially on social media as well. I think of like, plus mommy and the mommy term then, but I can still on the podcast say pregnant people, because some people are pregnant moms and some people are pregnant people, but they can feel welcome in the spaces that suit them. But I love it. And I'm curious. So starting this back in 2006 and really wanting to show bodies and what bodies look like, you accept nude photos. What was that decision like in deciding like, okay, how far will I take this?
You know, I don't even remember ever thinking otherwise, because bodies are just normal. And that's just like, sometimes we need to show the things that are harder to see, which is the point of the website itself. So why would I limit it to just covered bodies? But that's one nice thing about, because like in the intervening years, a lot of other like accounts and like photographers and stuff have done work in this area, but posting on social media, you have to conform to those standards. But having my own website, I was able to like keep it open. Like, we had a splash page so that like you wouldn't accidentally pull it up at work or something and just see like, you know, nakedness. But like, yeah, once you're inside there, like all bets are off. I've had women send in very personal photos, because sometimes, you know, the private bits change as well. And where are you going to compare that?
Nowhere. Yeah.
Anywhere.
No.
So, yeah.
I don't think I've ever had a friend send me a picture of their butt stretch marks, but I love that. Like, I love that your friend did that. And that was such a change of point. But I have seen like bellies. And then as a childbirth educator, I've seen it all. Right. But like that intimate moment that even solidified how it made you feel and that you wanted others to feel that acceptance too. Oh, yeah. I love it so much.
Yes.
So you said it went viral immediately. What was that response?
Just huge. It blew me away. Like I said, within a week, it was already like, I don't remember the numbers offhand, but I had like so many submissions, and I was just posting like a bunch of submissions in a row. At that time, I think I was even putting them all together in like one blog post instead of giving each person, each story its own. And as time, like Here's the thing that's interesting, actually. When I started it, I had sort of envisioned it just as a thing of just photographs, right? I was just like, let's just catalog as many bodies as we can.
Yeah.
But then people really had to share. And so they started like just sharing their stories, their thoughts, like where they had come from before, where they were at right now, what this act of like sharing their changed body with the world was doing for them. And I realized, okay, well, that's what this is now then. You can share your story if you want. And again, you know, like I want everyone to share as much as they are comfortable with, which means I don't require anything of the people who participate. I've never required names, and I have a system to like keep everyone's names like anonymous. It won't accidentally get transferred from your email or anything, just because I want to make sure everyone has that sense of safety. If you're sending me your nude photos, I feel like I want you to feel like you can trust me with that.
Yeah, you take it very seriously. Yeah. I love how you're like, you just need to own the photos and no photoshopping.
Exactly.
As it should be. As it should be. Like, those are your rules. But that also to share a little bit. And then people sometimes, I'm sure, submit a couple sentences, but there's so many lengthy stories and you have them all categorized so people can dig into whether they're experiencing like parenting twins or plus size or different journeys that they're taking, and they can just feel far less alone. And mm-hmm. that's so important.
Yeah. Yeah.
What are some of the big differences you've seen in doing this work for so long now, around when you began, when we weren't really seeing it anywhere, to now what we see everywhere?
I mean, God, so much. It's funny because in those early days, it seemed to be the people who already had kind of like a hippie lean to it.
Yeah.
And then as time went on, that audience became like a lot more mainstream and even conservative to a degree, to the point where sometimes they would get upset with me if I tried talking about abortion or something. I've had to like train my audience over the years that like feminism, like I cannot have a website about body image without being able to discuss other forms of feminism as well, because they're all interconnected, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that was like an interesting, like sort of like, you know, rise like on the trip. But like societally, I feel like, and you know, in the last few years, the website has slowed down like a ton. And I think that that's because we have so many more resources now. And I mean, I love that. I love that there's so many more options. It's so much easier to access the idea of what real bodies look like.
Yeah. I love that you said that you've kind of trained or taught your audience. And I followed you since the beginning on Facebook, especially more recently on Instagram. But like on Facebook, following you for well over a decade now, there's been a distinct shift in the content that you share in a way that I admire you for being so bold and brazen in your beliefs, because we have shared beliefs. I just don't have the bandwidth to put up with the trolling and the negativity and the TERFs and the BS that goes along with being so open and honest. And I'll have you explain to people what TERFs is, because I just realized not all audience members know, but like, it is not easy to talk about and share bodies in general, but then to take it to that next step. I tiptoe into things very often, but you go brazenly in with your head held high. And I deeply, deeply admire that you're doing that now, because it just further, you know, pushes the needle forward. And all that you're saying is for acceptance for all and equality for all. So I really do admire that.
Well, thank you so much. It's honestly like, it feels really good to hear that, because like a lot of times I'm perceived as like a bull in a china shop.
Yeah.
You know, but I just feel like things are so important, I can't not say them.
Yeah.
And you know, the autism, it comes out of my mouth. And then you need to just find a way to be comfortable with that, I guess.
Yes. No, but it's important and necessary. I mean, I remember when I started my blog on plus size pregnancy thinking like, oh, I really want to tell my abortion story. And it took me until last year to tell it on the podcast. Like, I've been at this since 2011, but I didn't have the courage and strength. I would share supportive things and messages, but like to be that stripped vulnerable and raw and knowing the attacks and the unfollows and the hate mail that you get when you do something like that. But you do it like multiple times a week, and I admire your ability to put those messages and those stories. And like, you have a whole series on like badass women who do incredible things. And I really deeply thank you for doing it and stepping into that realm.
I mean, thank you. Thank you for being there, for listening, for learning and growing with me. Yeah. I mean, I feel like I'm just like throwing stuff out there. Just education itself, knowledge, information is like so important to me. So yeah, no, I'm glad.
We have a degree in women's studies, right?
I have a degree in English and
English.
I took a minor in women's studies as well.
Got it.
I'm considering going back for my master's in women's studies though.
Yeah, that would be incredible. Well, you're such a talented writer too. And you collect these incredible stories that need to be heard more often and shared.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Yeah.
How many stories do you think have been shared, or do you know the number from The Shape of a Mother?
I should have looked it up. It's, I know that I have it listed on the website.
It was from 2017. It showed there were 2,500.
Okay. That's
the last stat that I saw.
It's not going to be like a ton more beyond that, because like I said, it slowed way down in the last few years. And, you know, whereas I used to get like a few entries a day, now it's like a few entries every year.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. It's going to be like somewhere around there, but yeah, no, it's just, I'm so honored that people like trusted me with this. I feel so lucky to have been just a link in that information. Because like, I want to also acknowledge that just because there weren't like body image websites at that time, it doesn't mean that like body image work is new or is exclusive to the internet.
Oh, right. Fat activism. Right.
Yeah. The fat acceptance movement, the fat liberation movement's been going on for like decades. I think like 60s or 70s.
Uh-huh. Yeah. No, totally. Yes. Yeah. Not discrediting anything, especially the work of Black people and people of color that laid the foundation for a lot of that work. But there honestly weren't really other resources around postpartum bodies, because for your work, it wasn't just a specific size. Mm-hmm. It was really changing the conversation. And like you said, like almost the secret, removing the secret. You talk about that on your website around what postpartum bodies look like at all sizes, shapes, colors, abilities, that's that key point. And sure, I mean, there are artists that have been doing it forever, right? But there wasn't, that I knew at the time, at least back when I was pregnant in 2010 and you had already been doing it for about 4 years, that I couldn't find any other resource like that.
Yeah.
And I Googled images for hours, because I especially wanted to see big plus size pregnant people, because that hardly existed at all.
Yeah.
And most of them I could find, the people didn't have heads. It was just the bodies. And I really wanted to see. And yes, on your website that there is those photos, but that's for the comfort of the person who submitted them. But there are also smiling photos and gorgeous, more artistic photos.
Yeah.
There's such an incredible variety that you just realize, oh my goodness, of course, bodies come in all these different beautiful forms.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I love the diversity of the website. I do wish it was more diverse though. I've always struggled at like connecting with more people of color. And there definitely are some on there. And I also have categories. If somebody mentions their race, I will like add it under that, so that other people like who might be of the same ethnicity can go and look that up and find that.
Yeah.
But no, that's one of the like legitimate critiques that I've received from time to time. I'm not really sure how to broaden it though, because it's just with who submits what to me, but like, I'm open to like listening to ideas or like whatever.
Yeah. No, with the plus size birth work and plus size pregnancy, I've done posts specifically asking for Black people and people of color who wanted to submit. And that's helped me, especially if people share it in community groups. But, you know, sometimes with social media, we know like less than 1% of your followers see something. So even if you have the best of intentions, and actually it seems like almost when you're asking for something meaningful and important and wanting to be more inclusive or share something that can make change, the algorithm's like, oh, we're not going to show that to anybody. So
I hate it. I hate it.
Now, are you still accepting submissions?
I am, yes, but I am a hot mess.
Me too!
I don't always get to them like in any sort of timely fashion, so.
No, of course, yeah.
Sorry.
No, I can only imagine something that you started, be like, I wonder what would come of this, and then it just blew up. Was it all consuming in the beginning?
I mean, it's hard to know because it felt really good, but there was a lot of work. You know, I was definitely putting in like at least multiple hours every day, just like getting the new posts on there and stuff. And, you know, at that time there was like a lot of media attention as well. And so, you know, like doing interviews, stuff like that, but it felt so good that like I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just felt good to be like part of a movement.
Were there any media critiques in the beginning that caught you off guard, or even public critiques?
There have always been public critiques, and they range in varying degrees of like legitimacy, you know, because there's internet trolls. But the media was surprisingly kind. I never really had any pushback from them. They all seemed to be pretty, you know, on board with the message and stuff. And I feel really blessed for that.
Yeah.
Some of the critiques were, well, I really liked it when people would say, there's only thin moms on here, because other people would say, there's only fat moms on here. And I was like, no, there's both.
There's all.
Yeah. Things like that. Yeah.
And I know one of the reasons why you started it wasn't only seeing a body that helped you to feel included and accepted, but as a parent and your children getting older, how do you feel about how the conversation around bodies when you were becoming pregnant compared to now, whatever their journeys might be like in the future and their bodies changing? Because we all know, even if you don't get pregnant, our bodies are going to continuously change.
Exactly. Yeah. I want to get back to that because that's a really interesting point. But first, I'm going to try and answer this question. I mean, it's still out there. It's still really hard. Both of my kids have struggled with their body image despite everything, you know? And like, I mean, I could have hoped for the best, but I also recognized even when they were small, we live in this world. There's only so much that I can do. So I'm just doing what I can. Yeah. So they've both struggled, but they also have a greater framework. You know, for me growing up in the 80s and 90s, it was a lot harder. It was a lot harder to find that, like, what's normal? Like, what's the baseline? Where's the pushback against body shaming? And I mean, oh my God, if you watch like any 80s TV show, even the really good ones like Golden Girls or something, there's going to be like fat shaming, like at least once an episode.
Yeah.
And like, it was ridiculous back then, for sure.
Yeah. No, real hard. And also, I mean, I don't know. I feel this way. Like, growing up in California, there also seemed like an additional pressure and standard of ridiculousness of what beauty looks like. And I'm sure it's hard anywhere, but I felt just, you know, Beverly Hills 90210 was like the main show when I was, you know, young and growing up. And I'm just like, this isn't what most people look like and that we all look like. And so I'm glad that there is so much more diversity. But I also turn on the TV and I still don't see the level of inclusion and diversity.
For sure.
I would have hoped we'd see by now.
For sure. Yes. No, my kids and I are like the reason that I had children has finally come to light, and we are watching Lost together.
Oh, I love that show.
Oh, and they're into it. It's so great. But, you know, like Hurley's character is an overweight man, and he's obviously one of the best characters. But I had forgotten how much they really rag on him for his weight and how much a part of his story it is. And like, of course, a person who's living in this world with, you know, a different size or shape body is likely to experience some of that. So I'm not trying to minimize that, but I think a lot of fat activists say that it'll be nice when we start seeing more you know, fat characters whose story isn't just about their fatness.
Yes. Yes. I had such hope for This Is Us. And then the first episode, I was like, no. But right. I felt like it did get a little better after
that first season.
And it became less about the size of her body and more about her journey. And, but yeah, it gets a little frustrating. So I love, like Shrill on Hulu that is imperfect, yes. but it's just so much better because she's just like fat and happy and an awesome, really great writer who has sex and I'm like, and goes to the pool. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yes, more of this, please. Not only for us, but for our kids to see.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we also mentioned that bodies change regardless of pregnancy.
Oh, right. Yeah. And so like, that's where like a lot of times people will use the language, you know, that childbirth ruined their body. And I want to push back against that because for one thing, like you said, you're like, we have this weird idea in our world that like young adult is the final form, right? And then after that, you're aging and it's over, right? But before that, like children aren't really considered people. They're like unformed still. But the thing is, from the moment that you're born until the moment that you die, that's your life, you know? And you don't know exactly how long it is you're going to have. So don't wait for anything, you know?
Right.
And your body changes from the moment that you're born until the moment that you die. And you're not going to look the same at any age. And that's okay. And so that's, you know, that's something I also want to help and bring to the world. Like, it's okay to get older. Like, you don't look the same as you did when you're five. Do you want to? Like,
no.
It's okay to get older.
It really is. And I find as my boobs droop down lower, I also care less too, which is fantastic. Like, my body's changing. It's okay. It's just a body. It's going to keep changing. And my choice to love it or not is mine and no one else's. Mm-hmm. So why am I going to spend so much time hating something? Like, it's mine and I love it, but it's hard and it's taken a long time to get to that place.
And I mean, like, it's a path, right? You know, and,
totally.
And every path has curves and hills and valleys. And like, sometimes it's going to be easier and sometimes it's going to be harder. I think one of the things that helped me the most in my lifelong journey to be more comfortable with the way I look is acknowledging what my body does, right? And, you know, I have disabilities, so sometimes it doesn't do what it's supposed to do, but like, that's okay because it's still doing all these things. Like, I'm still here. I'm still alive. It's still working for me. And my body is not for anyone to look at. It's to keep my brain existing. That's what it's for. That is the only thing that it's for. And if I want to share my body with somebody, that's awesome, right? But like, that's not its primary purpose. And I really want people to try and remember, like, what you actually look like is sort of irrelevant because your body is not for an image. It is for functioning.
Yeah. And you step back and you think about it and you're like, oh yeah. Yeah. Why does society make this all so complex and hard and pins us all against each other in so many awful ways?
Thoughts, but that's probably a whole other conversation.
Are you plus size and pregnant or trying to conceive? Do you wonder where you can find cute plus size maternity clothes? Or when you'll start showing and how to embrace your pregnant body? What about having a healthy pregnancy and how to reduce your increased risk? Find the answers to these questions and so much more within the My Plus Size Pregnancy Guide and audiobook. From nutrition and physical activity to prenatal care expectations and the importance of hiring a size-friendly care provider, you'll not only learn information to help you make informed decisions throughout your pregnancy, but start to develop a new relationship with your body. Download this guide and start using it at any point in your pregnancy. Stop Googling and start feeling empowered today. Use code PLUSMOMMY to get 20% off the My Plus Size Pregnancy Guide and audiobook. How do you see from the beginning of your work to now and how intersectional feminism is pushing your work in different directions?
Well, I mean, for one thing, when I first started, I didn't even know, I had never even heard of intersectional feminism in 2006. If you want me to be 100% totally and completely honest, I didn't even identify as a feminist when I started the website. But the next week after I saw that incredible response, I was like, oh yeah, no, I think we do still need feminism.
Wow, that's beautiful though. Thank you for sharing. I mean, we're all on a journey, right? Like our bodies are on a journey, our brains are on a journey, and we all come with different baggage that we have to unpack.
Well, you know, like, I grew up in like conservative environments, and I wasn't for male domination or anything. It wasn't It was just I was so young and so unaware of like the complexity of social issues. I was like, what, women can vote now, so we're equal, right? But then I recognized that's not what feminism is. So yeah, it changed me in that way. And then, you know, having this platform and having so many different people tell me so many like new ideas about what their lives are like to drive me to that as well. Because you can't listen to people and not hear them, you know? Yeah. And the more people I listened to, the more I started understanding things. And then I got on Tumblr, and man, those kids schooled me. So
that's awesome. Yeah. Oh, that's incredible. Like you, your community taught you so much. I feel the same way about when I first started my blog, I had an unmedicated birth. I'm like, I'm going to blog about how amazing unmedicated birth is. And then I'm like, wait, like, that's just like one small decision, one very small piece of this broader puzzle of like birthing in a larger body and just wanting dignity and respect and your wishes honored. And who am I to tell someone what to do with their body? So for me, it was a tonal journey too. And I feel like, you know, back then, especially when you started, I mean, we were just still figuring out what blogging meant and looked like. And now it's so different than what it was back then. But it's such an important part, I think, of the work that we do. I always say I just really now have learned and try to meet people where they're at and provide them with respect and really listen to what their journey is like and learn too. Like my language I use is totally changed too. Mm-hmm. And I'm thankful for it. I've revamped my website so many times in the past decade and I'm glad to do the work. And I think it's beautiful. Your takeaway in not having as much traffic and stories sent to your site is that you've helped to completely shift the conversation. And now that resource, well, not completely, sorry, I'll take that back, but you've really helped to start the conversation in a broader way. Like I can go onto Instagram right now and see a ton of postpartum body photos, right? Yeah. That I couldn't, this was not on Facebook.
Yeah.
Even though Facebook existed, people were not sharing these photos. And you were one of the first websites that shared postpartum bodies raw and unedited. You did that. And now it's everywhere and it's more common. And so like you were saying, there's other resources on the same topic now, but there weren't back then.
Yeah.
And I think that that's incredible and admirable. And I mean, that's my goal, is to not have a need for plus size birth too, because we just treat people with dignity and respect.
I know,
and provide individualized healthcare. Right? Yeah. So I think it's incredible that you've been such a huge piece of helping to redefine what postpartum bodies look like. That's massive.
Well, thank you for that. I am not sure how much I single-handedly did that by any means, because I know a lot of people came to like their own conclusions, not even necessarily with having known of my work. In fact, The Shape of a Mother, to my knowledge, is the first website that focused on postpartum body image photos. But after I started it, I then found out that there was another website. It's still up, I think. It's called 00B, so 00B for 00 breasts, like James Bond. And it showed just all sorts of different images of breasts, like all shapes and sizes, with various like medical issues and differences and stuff. And I've always like loved the work that they did as well. So I think a lot of people do come to the idea sort of like on their own as well. But I like that there is a place that I've just helped to like bring the conversation to the table, at least some of it.
And you've collected You provided people with a space who wanted to be public, an area, a corner of the internet where they could be raw and vulnerable and share their experience and their photos.
Mm-hmm.
And that's incredible.
Yeah. Thanks.
So now with your work of being more vocal and standing up for things you believe in and being such an incredible educator, we mentioned earlier the word TERF. Can you tell us, tell us what a TERF is?
TERF is an acronym. It stands for Trans Exclusionary Radical Feminist. And there are various other words that people have proposed to fill in the letters for TERF or to change it entirely because they're not feminists. You cannot be a feminist and also be trans exclusionary. You cannot be a feminist and be exclusionary.
Mm. Period. Yeah, I think period. That period.
Full stop. Yeah. And I think that their fear is that, or at least this is what I have picked up on, is that women have worked so hard to get the rights that we have, even though we still aren't equal. And so now people see that what they perceive as a man is coming in and trying to appropriate all of our hard work, but that's not what it is.
Yeah.
A trans woman is a woman, period. This is not a new phenomenon. And this is not a phenomenon that is just for our culture. It is ancient and it is widespread across the globe. So trans people are not new. We can decide who we want to include under our umbrella of activism. And I don't think that you are doing activism if you're telling people that they're not allowed in.
Mm. Yes. I'm so glad we're having this conversation because I completely respect and believe and support that trans women are women. And for me, also, not everyone identifies as a woman who gets pregnant. And so I've been working on changing my language and learning, but I don't understand the exclusion because me saying pregnant people to mm-hmm. me doesn't take anything away from the fact that I identify as a mother. I feel like I want to do everything within my work to help make people feel as welcome as possible. And I also know the statistics and the very high suicide rate for trans mm-hmm. individuals. So if I can just use a different word or use mom or pregnant person, do whatever right. those little things are to help someone know that I value their pregnancy and I want them to have as many resources to how to advocate for themselves as everyone else or refer right. better yet to a trans organization. If I can just do those little things and it helps someone to feel accepted, then why wouldn't I, especially as someone yes. who exists in a body that society doesn't like, and I still have so much privilege. Mm-hmm. So I firmly believe and appreciate all that you share and put out there and the education that you're doing as well, not only about BMI or bodies or postpartum, but for, people of all backgrounds too. It's so, so important.
I just try to do good things.
And you do, you succeed.
Thanks.
What do you see as the future of Shape of a Mother or wherever your journey will take you? I know that this has been a heart project of yours for mm-hmm. so long now.
Yeah, I am kind of in flux right now. And technically, I sort of have been for quite a few years because as the website has slowed down, I'm trying to figure out what to do, how to manage it. And also I think really what I would like to do is switch gears to feminism education in general, but I also don't yeah. want to lose the audience that I still have. So a lot of it is still being done under the Shape of a Mother name, which is why I've kept the name, even though it is not super inclusive. It's simply because it's hard to change a whole 15-year-old, brand. So I'm thinking of starting a website, basically kind of like a women's studies 101 course or something, where yeah. we could just break down all of the things into really easy to understand blocks. And that's hopefully something will happen.
I love it. I love it. But if people find you now, they can follow along with The Shape of a Mother still, yeah, and then follow you to wherever the journey may take you.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, I'm, as I've shared multiple times now, deeply appreciative to finding you when I struggle to find even bodies with stretch marks on the internet, yeah, all those years ago. And I, you know, had your site linked to mine, you know, from when I first started blogging, and have just been so appreciative. So the opportunity to talk to you and thank you, and then say how much I, you know, watch your stuff now. And I'm like, oh, like I need to have more courage to share the content that you're putting out into the world, but I'm not strong enough to deal with the backlash. So I admire that you do. And I give loves when I see it. And because it's important. I mean, we're really helping to shift the narrative for more love and inclusion and acceptance and change for our children and our children's children to live in a world where they, no matter how they identify, can feel loved and accepted. Mm-hmm. And it's very important and necessary work. And I appreciate that you've taken your own work and your audience, because I'm sure that has been a challenge, to these places and to mm-hmm. these conversations that can be really difficult to have. But we're, I hope that we all, everyone listening, is encouraged to continue to listen and to become educated and to keep learning and to keep trying. And we're mm-hmm. all going to mess up, and I'm going to say the wrong yes. word sometimes. And I'm just going to say, I'm sorry, I'm learning, and, mm-hmm. And teach me how I can do better now that I know better.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And I think that's the most important thing in growth, right? Is being willing to be, to be corrected, and to be graceful about that, and to be humble about that, and to be honored to be corrected, because yes. that's a gift.
That someone would take the time to even correct you.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is a gift. Well, you are a gift, Bonnie, and I hope everyone will check you out. Where can everyone find you?
TheShapeOfAMother.com is home base. I'm most active on our Facebook account.
Yes. Yes. Very active, and lots of good stuff being put out into the world. So definitely everyone go over and check it out. How can people support you and your work?
Well, I do have a Patreon, and what my patrons get is early access to my stuff. I have a belief fundamentally that education should be accessible to everybody. And so I don't keep stuff that is just for my patrons. I mean, unless it might be something silly or something, but anything educational will eventually always become published. But I hope that my patrons are proud that they are a part of making education accessible for people. So, and there are some like goodies on there as well too, but
yeah. Well, thank you so much. And how can people find that? It's linked on your website, right? And it's
yes.
patreon.com/theshapeofamother. So
yep.
they can check it out there and support you there. Yep. All right, friends. Thank you again, Bonnie, so much for all that you do and all that you've
done. Thank you. Thank you.
Take care, friends. Until next time. Goodbye.
Bye.